Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn, joined by Andy Holding, to look ahead to Sunday's Garran card. There's also a card over in Limerick for you Irish fans. But we're going to focus on the flat because, of course, the jump season ended in England, at least, yesterday. Hopefully we can point in the direction of a winner or two on a reasonably strong Garran card. Morning, Andy.
Good morning, Alex.
How are you?
How the hell am I, mate? Yeah, I'm good, yeah. I'm good. Yeah,
good.
I had a couple of days at Sandown, enjoyed both codes. Nice day's racing Friday, even though the weather was atrocious, and the racing was good on Saturday as well. I thought it was a really good climax to the national season with Geraghty and McCoy fighting at the finish in the about 365.
That was a
cracker.
It was an absolute thriller, unless you backed Burton Port like
yeah.
I did.
Yeah.
In which case, it was slightly galling. But good to see that horse at least showing a bit of old sparkle, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah, he was probably one of my least fancied horses in the race, funny enough, Hagen's approach. I had him down as a small field bully and not sure whether he was able to cope with a big field and the hustle and bustle of a top-class handicap chase over that trip on the ground as well. But he completely confounded my expectations of him. So well done to Hagen's approach. And that man Geraghty again, I think he goes into Punchestown riding arguably better than anyone in the rain room.
Absolutely. We mentioned, of course, start of a new season on the William Hill Naps table as well, and we have a new addition, don't we? Who would be?
I'm not saying press ganged into going into it, but I was gently persuaded, if you like, or it was mentioned that it would be a good thing if perhaps I was to maybe give it a go this year. And after about 3 or 4 years on the subs bench, I thought, go on then,
Yeah.
It gives me a bit of interest during the summer anyway. I probably won't be as punting as heavily as I probably have been in previous years. So I thought, well, let's give something like the Knapsable a bit of a go.
Absolutely. Why not? OK, then. We'll go through the Garran card then, and we'll start at 2:05 with a maiden over 7 furlongs. Favourite here is Queen of Power. Pretty strongly fancied this morning as well. The market would suggest there's only two or three that have any hope of trouble in that one. Do you think that this is a pretty much a penalty kick for Queen of Power?
It looks it, yeah. When I was looking at this race this morning and saw even money stuck up by one or two firms, I quickly availed myself of that price. I'm not really a short price punter per se, but like anything else, if you feel as though even money's value in any race, then you should take it, and that's what I've done. I thought the main danger was Danish Duke, and that horse is now a non-runner, so it kind of opens the door even further for Michael O'Callaghan's filly. She's run well in two very good races so far in her career. First of all, last year she caught the eye, in no uncertain terms, in a very hot maiden at Fairy House when she came from an impossible looking position to just get beat by a horse called Wonderfully, who has got classic aspirations this season for Aidan O'Brien. And then she hasn't been seen out, well, she wasn't seen out for quite a while. I think she's about 290 odd days off the track when she went to Leopardstown, amazingly in a Group 3. Just shows you how much regard Michael O'Callaghan shows in this Medician filly by running her in a pattern race first time up. She was a 20-1 shot, and I thought she performed with a good deal of credit that day. Basically, she turned into the straight 5th or 6th, and she maintained her position all the way down the straight. She didn't lose any further ground. So it's basically, she's run with Group 2, Group 3 fillies in a decent trial. The ground would have been a little bit too soft for her as well on that occasion. So the ground being good today with a few sprinklings of showers around at Garran shouldn't inconvenience her. She's drawn stall 1 as well. Anyone that knows Garran Park particularly well knows that there's a short run to the bend out the back straight where the 7 furlong gate is, which means that a good inside position around that top bend often saves ground and means you can get a breather in around the bend before kicking on in the home straight. And that far rail is often the place to be as well, particularly in the early part of the races at Gowran. As the day drifts on and that far rail becomes a bit churned up, they tend to migrate down the middle. But early doors, that far rail is the place to be. So even at sort of 4 to 6, 8 to 11 now, Queen of Power still actually, I think, represents value. Zane Deere comes here off the back of a decent run at the Curragh, but I didn't get a good time for that race, and I thought it was a modest race. And then you're running onto the unraced category, and unless there's any great weight of money beyond the rest, this looks as though Queen of Power has got to, the ideal opportunity to get off the mark.
Okay, Queen of Power there then in the 205. Next up is the 235, a filly's handicap over 7 furlongs. Nice enough race here. You've got one that's carrying a welter burden up at the top there in Slipper Orchid. The rest of them reasonably lightly weighted. And Sparkle Factor heads affairs at the time of recording for Dermot Weld. Which way do you see this one going, Andy?
Well, yeah, it could be very well handicapped here, this Sparkle Factor. She's just had the 3 runs. She got off the mark last time out on ground, which probably was a bit too heavy for her. Limerick, but she showed good battling qualities and actually at the time a nice turn of foot to take up the running. I didn't think she beat a lot. The time wasn't particularly fast, but she could only beat what was put in front of her, as the old adage goes. She ran in a couple of good maidens last year. Actually, I think the weight of those maidens actually carries more clout than the actual win, if that makes any sense. In a race where you can't fancy probably that many, she probably is just about a worthy favourite. But I do quite like Slipper Orchid here. I thought Damien Mealy got a real good tune out of this mare the other day at Dundalk on the All Weather. She's a real good 7 furlong specialist, so she's definitely going to be applying in a trade when chances are quite sparse. And she's got a really good turn of foot when she's in overdrive, this filly. She showed on more than one occasion last year. She won 3, and she began this year's campaign in pretty sparkling fashion, as I said, back in late March with a tremendous run up the far side rail. She come from last to first after being slowly away. And she ran over the top of some really good fillies. Her sectional times are very good. She ran 33.2 for the last 3 furlongs, which is very, very fast. So if Damien can get the same kind of click out of her in the home straight here at Gowran, she could give the favourite plenty to think about here. And she's decent value at 3-1. So, you know, it's a spin of the coin, but at the prices, I'm more enticed to go with the Halford filly. So Slipper Orchid gets about the 235.
Okay, Slipper Orchid in the 235. Next up is the 305. This one's a handicap over 7 furlongs. Pretty open, this. A lot of handicap debutants, a lot of horses that you'd expect will probably come good now rather than earlier. I know that's pretty obvious given looking at the form that there isn't much to go off. Fix It, I suppose, is the one that has the solid form claims on what's been achieved so far, and is backable at a maggot each way kind of price. Is this enticing you at all, Andy?
My advice would be treat the 305 and the 435 with kid gloves, if you like. I wouldn't be going mad in these kind of races. You know, Fix It is a useful horse on the all weather. I think the price of this horse hasn't really factored in that Caroline Murta's riding it. Now, I don't want to sound disrespectful to Caroline, because she's obviously a £10 claim and she's learning the ropes, and until she becomes a bit more proficient in the saddle, then we need to just kind of have a watching brief with it for the time. I'm just not totally convinced with her strength in the finish at the moment. And when you're taking a short price about one that she's riding, sometimes I think the bookmakers haven't looked at it and perhaps put an extra point and a half on, which I would, assessing the chance of a horse that she's riding. So with that in mind, I'd pass her over here, or pass him over here, in favour of the solid track horse, and that's Northern Surprise from the Timothy Doyle stable. 4 runs in its career, the fourth of which was a career best when he finished third behind Rathalli on bad ground here at Gowran's opening meeting. That was a few weeks back. But the fact that this horse managed to run well on ground that wouldn't have suited around this track stands in good stead. Billy Lee, who rode on that occasion, takes the ride again. And around about 8-1, I do think this horse represents decent each-way value here, because there's not that many you can really fancy with your life depending on it. So many out-of-form performers and horses that are very, very difficult to assess. So at least we know we've got a course and distance horse who's fitting well, well-drawn. So let's go with Northern Surprise, each way at 8-1.
Okay, next up is the 3:35. It's a listed contest over 1 mile, 1.5 furlongs. A couple of nice types in here. The head of affairs at the time of recording got I'm Yours, who's been quite well backed. On the other hand, Exotic for the O'Brien team has drifted just a tad. I'm Yours, of course, gets a lot of weight off her rivals today. Do you think that could be important? And which horse do you think will land the spoils?
Yeah, she's a nice filly, I'm Yours. She ran in that listed race first time up at Navan. Dermot Weld must think quite a bit of her to start her off in Patton Company. And she didn't disgrace herself at all. She was sent off favourite. She's obviously been doing some good things at home. So in the light of that, she was arguably slightly disappointing. Her finishing effort in the latter stages wasn't exactly all that great. She just kept on for pressure rather than actually coming home with any great gusto. Maybe she might have just needed the run, and Dermot Weld and the team probably just were caught out a little bit by a lack of fitness late on. She's obviously been very popular again this morning. The same band of merry men who back to that occasion must be trying to get their money back this time, because she's been well punted in the morning prices. I'm very much of a respecter of Dermot Weld with mares anyway and fillies. I think he's tremendous. He's probably one of the best trainers in the world anyway, but with the fairer sex, he's a different class. But that said, I think, you know, she's got, you know, quite a bit on here up against two nice horses, and one in the shape of Exotic, who, similar to I'm Yours, is very lightly raced. She's a four-year-old, of course, and has to give a stone away. But I like the way she dug deep and pulled it out the fire at Galway on her first start. That was last season. She had no right to win that day. She was miles back turning to home straight, but her stamina kicked in, and she won quite comfortably in the end after it looked a lost cause around about a furlong and a half out. So stamina is definitely a key. So whether dropping back to a mile, 1.5 on a season away appearance is going to be a sufficient enough test is open to debate. But I think she's a nice staying prospect for Aidan O'Brien this season. But the one I'm going to go with here, because I think she's a nice price each way, is the very consistent and admirably tough Mizava. Now, she's rated 106. She's got plenty of good runs under her belt last season. She dined pretty much at the top table in all her races last year. Fifth in the Irish 1,000 Guineas behind Just the Judge. Fifth behind Sky Lantern in the Coronation Stakes. I mean, these are Group 1 races. So, you know, starting off a season in fairly shallow waters here in the listed race should be absolutely ideal. She rounded off a season with two good runs. Second in the Clodderville listed race at Naas behind Wannabe Better. And fourth in, again in a similar race at Leopardstown. So this is going to be a fairly gentle introduction to her here compared to what she's up against. So it'd be difficult to see Mizava if she does run a race not being in the first three. And at round about 9-2, 5-1 this morning, that makes sense to back her each way rather than take a short price about the front two.
Okie doke. Next up is the 4:05. It's a filly's maiden over 1 mile, 1.5 furlongs. They go without number one, Circling, and number five, Just as Well. Circling likely to be a reasonably warm order as well. So that does leave it reasonably open. Cereza, again for Dermot Weld and Pat Smullen, is in at 7-4 now, Andy. I thought that would be a bit shorter, given the fact that Circling is out. 15-8 for Spirited, 7-2 for Tergra, and 14s or bigger the rest. So the market now makes it a three-horse race. Which one are you going to come down on here?
I'd really fancy Circling. It's a shame she's out. I told you the idea of napping her as well, between the filly in the first and Circling. And now the watchman filly's out does kind of like cast a shadow over the race. I'm not absolutely convinced of that form down in Tipperary, you know. The race at Ed O'Mara landed a nice punt for the Dermot Weld camp first time out. She won very easily, but it was a very, very slowly run race. And when I get a race like that, it's really slow on the figures. I always are very cautious next time out. And basically, I think the winner was very good. She won by 5.5 lengths, gunned down, and the rest of them were rubbish. So even though Sorenza's seemingly run quite well in a maiden first time out beyond a nice filly, I actually don't really trust the ones that are in behind. And the first and third favourite here, Sorenza, of course, and Tigra as well, ran in that race. So I'm suggesting we back Spirited here against the front two, or the other two, because I think the maiden that she ran in was a much better race. Of course, it was against the Colts. It was at the Curra. It was won by Ansard, who was very well fancied on that occasion. But you've only got to look at the horses that were in behind that day. Three horses have won out of the race. I think it's actually better than I thought at the time, that race. Belisarius, who was fourth, he finally got the mark the other night, Dundalk. And also finished last horse called Al Kassa, finished 10th of 10th. Landed a bit of a punt for Dermot Weld the other day at Cork. So I actually think this race is all right, you know, and this filly, she's a very tall, rangy filly by Fastnet Rock, shaped with a degree of promise back in third after being slowly away and just not quite getting home late on. I think the better ground will suit her. She's only raced on a soft surface up to now, but judged by her kind of like action, I think a good ground surface will be absolutely ideal. And for me, she's got the best form in the race. She should be favourite. So with that in mind, I think 15-08 is a good price for Spirited, and let's back her to turn over Sorenza.
Okay, next up is the 4.35 to handicap over a mile, and it's the penultimate race on the Gowran card. It's already a race that you've said isn't for maximum stakes, and that's reflected in the betting. 9-2 the field, with Liberty to Rock heading affairs at the time of recording. It's another one where, you know, you could go with the sort of consistency of the likes of Liberty to Rock and Trans City, or there could be a real lurker in there. There's quite a few that don't have especially good form figures, but have been supported to a point this morning. Which one do you fancy here?
Well, I think this Liberty to Rock's one to take on here, on the basis that he's got desperate form going right-handed. He's, all his best forms at Dundalk for a start off. He's won four times there going left-handed, and of course Bell is down as well, tight left-handed track. He's run 13 times going right-handed, and he's only once hit the frame, and only seven visits to Gowran Park, he's 0-7. He hasn't even finished in the frame, and you've been asked to take 4-1 about him. So I think he's one to definitely put the fork in. If I was going to ask for what would I do in this race, I'd be against that horse big time. What I would actually tip against it, I don't really know, because quite a few of these, like the favourite, have got unconvincing profiles. I'm just going to play with the straight bat here and put something each way, or place only up. So if you're going to have a go at the race, you might be able to make a little bit of money. And I'm going to offer up James Nash's Trans City as that alternative to one or two iffy-looking characters. Well drawn here in the hands of Anna O'Brien. I thought she ran well, or he ran well, when third of the day behind Fisher Rock from the Jim Bulger stable, who's in good form at the moment. This race is similar to that. Horse stays well, comes off the back of several good runs on the all-weather. Doesn't win very often, so it's not exactly maximum stakes bet, as I said. But I'm not really left with a lot. So Trans City each way, 13-2. Would be my token selection in that 4.35.
Okay, Trans City there in the 4.35. And the final race is the 5.05 to maiden over 1 mile, 1.5 furlongs. Another maiden that could throw up a few winners here, potentially. Falkirk has been really, really well back this morning for Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. Often hard to tell with that yard if a horse is being backed because it's exceptional, or if it's just because punters have seen that it's Aidan and Joseph O'Brien. This certainly will take a bit of winning. There's some potentially nice types in here. Are you going to side with the O'Brien horse?
Not at 5-4, no. You can get much bigger elsewhere this morning. I think that's a really skinny price. Ran with a good deal of promise first time out. Typical of Aidan O'Brien's this season. It was a horse in a maiden that wasn't particularly strongly fancied. Likely to come on for the run. A lot of Aidans have improved for their first run, as we've seen so far. And I expect this one to follow similar patterns. He's by Montjeu. He ran with a little bit of Montjeu in him, if you like. He sort of carried his head a little bit awkward, and he doesn't look the most straightforward under pressure. It was a slowly run race he was involved in the other day, so how he's going to cope with a stiffer test if they go quicker here today is open to anyone's debate. It's just a hard one to assess, really. And at 5-4, like I say, you are back in, as you said, the Aidan O'Brien, Joseph O'Brien axis, really, and that's all you're doing. As you pointed out, there are quite a few choicely bred individuals in this race that could give him plenty to think about. I'm quite looking like in the breeding line of Fog of War from the Joe Lyons stable. He's an interesting newcomer here. Joe Lyons' maidens are in really good order at the moment. They won with Trinity Force at Dundalk on Friday night. And Third Dimension as well won yesterday. So that yard's in rampant form. Keep an eye on the market for that one. Good tradition, of course, ran well first time at Nevin, catching the eye. And I also quite like one each way here at a price, and that's Sundara. I thought this horse shaped well in what I think was a very good race at the Curragh on his debut. It was won by a horse called Sinkal from the Dermot Weld stable, and it was the same race that, of course, Ruler World opened his account last year, so we had the Derby winner in, out of that race last year. And this year's version could equally turn out to be just as fruitful. I do like the winner, Sinkal. I think he could be a classic pretender, or certainly a horse running in group races later on in the season. So Sundara, who finished not too far behind him, around about 10-12 lengths behind, I thought, you know, could improve quite significantly next time. He looked as though he'd needed the run. He's got the first time tongue tie on today, so that might help him. And he comes out top of my figures with that run. So 7-1 for Sundara. I think we could do worse than back him each way.
Okay, Sundara each way there in the 505. Thank you very much, Andy, once again. for your time and your selections. Best of luck with all of them, and we'll catch up with you next week.
Yes, I think I'm in Monday, Tuesday as well. Start the Punchestown Festival. So
oh, lovely.
That's the first time for about 7 or 8 years I've been on the radio when the Punchestown's been on, so I'm looking forward to that.
Good stuff. We'll hear from you then.
Cheers, bud.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.